Galatians 6, 11 to 18. If you are following along in the Pew Bible, this is found on page 1342. Pew Bible, page 1342. Galatians chapter 6, verses 11 through 18. Galatians 6, 11 through 18. See with what large letters I have written to you with my own hand. As many as desire to make a good showing in the flesh, these would compel you to be circumcised, only that they may not suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For not even those who are circumcised keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised, that they may boast in your flesh. But God forbid that I should boast, except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but a new creation. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace and mercy be upon them, and upon the Israel of God. From now on, let no one trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Albert Mohler, the president of the Southern Baptist Convention, tells of a time when he himself was in seminary. At the seminary that he went to, theological liberalism had invaded the seminary. And at one point, during a class on the Gospel of Matthew, any of the Gospels, as you know, all are extended crucifixion narratives. That is, you read through the Gospels, and it's all pointed forward to the cross. So, as the class unfolded, one of the students began to question the professor about his view of the cross and what it meant and why it was important. And in the course of this exchange between the student and the professor, who had abandoned the Bible's view of what the cross meant, this professor told this young lady, "You take your bloody cross religion and leave." Now imagine that in a seminary, a place designed to teach people the Word of God. The professor himself has no place in his religion for a bloody cross. Well, brothers and sisters, if you take that bloody cross away from Christianity, you don't have Christianity anymore. Paul writes a letter to the Galatians. The Galatian people had, at least initially, accepted and embraced the gospel. They had seen the cross as what they needed for the salvation of their souls. They had not trusted in their own works, their own righteousness. They had, at least outwardly, professed faith in Christ and what he had accomplished on the cross. But other teachers came in. They began to distort their view on the cross. They began to think that the cross was not enough, that they needed something more. These teachers came in and started to teach them that they had to follow the law. They began to teach the men at Galatia that unless they were circumcised, it would appear, they taught them, unless they were circumcised, they could not be saved. And Paul writes this letter to these Galatians to focus them back on the true gospel and remind them what is of central importance. In verse 14 of chapter 6, Paul makes this statement. But God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says, I boast only in the cross. Now, saying that, maybe we've read this, maybe we've encountered this passage a lot of times, and to us, boasting about the cross doesn't really shock us. It's not all that big of a deal. But in the world in which Paul writes this, the cross was not a nice, shiny, silver thing that you hung around your neck. It wasn't a nice, polished, gold piece of jewelry. It wasn't something that people just had displayed in their homes. The cross was a symbol of grim death. Now, can you imagine if you came over to my house, and you come into my house, and I have a picture of a hangman's noose as you enter into my house. And you walk in a little bit further, and there's another picture of a hangman's noose. You walk in a little bit further, and there's another one. You might start thinking, what is wrong with this guy? You might start guessing what kind of music I like if you see a hangman's noose everywhere. But what's wrong with someone that would hang a picture of symbol of grim death? Well, this is what the early Christians encountered. To boast in the cross was to boast in something that was despised and hated. Think of the time in which Paul is writing this. There was one Roman senator who actually said, polite Romans should not talk about the cross in public conversation. In other words, that's something that's off limits. And if you start talking about that in public, that's just completely socially unacceptable. In fact, the early Christians were intensely mocked because of this. Probably the oldest example of graffiti ever to have been encountered in the world is actually graffiti that mocks Christianity. It shows a man kneeling down in front of a figure on a cross. And that figure on the cross has the head of a donkey. And the caption translated means, Alexamenos worships his god. The idea that someone would have a god that would be hung on a cross, that was ludicrous. The cross is nasty. The cross is despised. You think about what the people would encounter on the cross. Crucifixions were a public spectacle. And people would flock to watch them, though at the same time feeling kind of nasty about having done so. You think about Jesus, and where was Jesus crucified? He was crucified on a hill outside of Jerusalem, Golgotha. It's a prominent place. Some of you may have seen the movie Spartacus. The historical events behind that, after that rebellion is crushed, to make a point, the Roman Empire crucified the people that were part of that rebellion, crucified them at regular intervals along roadsides, so the people would see that they were not to be messed with. The cross was a horrible death. After being beaten and abused to varying degrees, Jesus probably experienced more than normal abuse before going to the cross. But after being beaten and abused, people would be hung naked upon a cross. The crosses themselves would be recycled. The old Romans practiced recycling, but it's nasty when you think about it. Because the crosses that would be recycled would be covered with the blood and sweat and tears and even bodily matter of the people that have been crucified before them. It was a horrible spectacle. And there they would hang. Crucifixion was a slow and agonizing death that essentially people would slowly but surely suffocate, as they could no longer push themselves up to take a breath of air. It was designed to maximize suffering, to prolong the agony of death. That's the kind of death that Jesus experienced. That's the kind of death, the death, that Paul is telling us to boast in. So you can see now why I compare this to a hangman's noose. We see crosses everywhere today, and it doesn't shock us anymore. But in this context, it would have been like putting up a hangman's noose as a piece of art. But it's not just any cross. that Paul wants us to boast in, is it? He's not boasting just in that manner of execution. Notice that it says, God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. See, Paul wasn't morbid. He didn't have some morbid fascination with death. Paul wasn't wearing black robes and wearing black mascara and, you know, putting on black nail polish while he sat in the dark listening to death metal. That's not the kind of guy Paul was. He's talking about boasting in the cross of Christ. We know that this was scandalous. It was also offensive. Paul would say, in speaking to the Corinthians, he'd say, in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom knew not God, but it pleased God through the foolishness of preaching to save those who believe. And he goes on to describe the preaching of the cross. When people heard the message of a crucified Savior, of how God became man without ceasing to be God to live for us and die for us on a cross, there was a response. Paul said this, we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness. What does that mean? It means that the message of the cross to the Jews was offensive. That God's Messiah would suffer and die on a cross? They remember the Old Testament scriptures that said, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. So how could God's Messiah be cursed? And they could not and would not embrace the message of the cross apart from divine grace. It was offensive to the Jews. It was also foolish to the Greeks. To the Greeks, the idea of a God that would submit himself to be beaten, abused, and killed by his own creation, that's nonsense. And we've heard the message over and over again. So to us, it just seems normal. But think about it. God creates and blesses and is kind to man. They turn away from him. And God himself steps into history to die the worst death known to man to save rebels? It is a shocking message. And Paul says, boast in the cross. There are a lot of things that people boast in today. Paul says, boast in the cross. And as we as Christians think about this, our glory should be the cross. Let's think about this, because Paul says it's not just boast in the cross, but boast only in the cross. So what does Paul mean when he says boast only in the cross? When we read elsewhere in Scripture that Paul mentions boasting in his sufferings, boasting in God, boasting, we read in Jeremiah, that we can boast that we know God. What does it mean then? Is Paul forgetting what the rest of Scripture says? I think that John Piper is right when he says, boasting only in the cross means let all boasting be boasting in this. In other words, any glory, any boasting that we have should be cross-focused, cross-centered. So we boast in our sufferings because the cross gives meaning to our sufferings. We boast in the knowledge of God. We boast that we know God because it is through the cross that we are reconciled to God. Let's think about what the cross has done for us. The cross saved us. We sang earlier, Jesus has paid it all. Not half, not a little bit, not most. He paid it all. He died for our sins. We looked earlier in Galatians chapter 3. Let's just turn back there if you would for a moment. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus. Here's what Paul is saying. It is through the cross that we're saved. Now, why is that so? We have broken God's law. Okay, imagine if you have a chain. Let's say that someone else has a chain, and you're using someone's chain, okay? And as you use that chain, you put too much stress on that chain, and one of the links breaks. The person comes back, he finds that chain broken, and says, "Why'd you break my chain?" He said, "No, I didn't break your chain, I just broke one of the links of your chain." Same thing, right? We have broken God's law, and as a result, the scripture says, cursed is everyone who does not continue in the law to do it. You can't earn your way to God. You can't pay, you can't be righteous enough to be accepted in God's sight, because God demands a righteousness that is perfection. None of us reach that standard. And there's a reason for that, because we are sinners by nature and then by choice. So God, if anyone is going to be saved, has to undertake to fulfill the demands himself. Only God can be perfect, so God, in the person of Christ, has done that. Stepping into human history to live a perfect life for us, and then go to the cross in perfect obedience to the Father, paying the penalty for us. This is a weak illustration, but maybe it'll help you understand. Some of you watch hockey. We're not watching the Leafs play hockey right now, unfortunately, because their time is done this year. But some of us like to watch hockey. When the goalie gets a penalty, does he serve it? No. Someone else serves it for him. It's a weak illustration, but it's somewhat of an illustration. In Christ, Jesus is taking our penalty. He's paying what we deserve, boasting in the cross, because it is by the cross that we are saved. Boasting in the cross because it is the cross that sanctifies us. Now that's a big word, and we've used it before, but some of us still don't quite get it. Sanctification is a big word that means our growth in grace. Growing more to be like Christ. Now I want to lean on this one for a second, okay? If the cross that you came to, the cross that you embrace, the gospel that you embrace, only gives you fire insurance, you've come to the wrong cross. What I mean by that is the cross that saves us also sanctifies us. The cross that saves us also begins a work in us by which we become more and more like Jesus. It's important. It's important that we get this. I grew up in the context where I would hear preachers from time to time say, you know what, people can get saved and then they just do their own thing, right? You know, at least they prayed a prayer. And I have friends from that movement that they kind of treat their salvation that way. Well, you know what, I prayed a prayer, so I'm good. I can do whatever I want. Now listen, Jesus paid it all. All your sins you committed before you got saved, all your sins committed before you or after you got saved. But if you approach your Christian life like that, it shows you've never really been to the real cross. The cross of Christ, look at what it says in chapter 6. We read it earlier. 6 and 14. God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. In other words, in the cross, the world has been crucified. When someone got crucified, they got killed. They're dead. So the world has become dead to me and I dead to the world. Now, this is an ongoing work of grace. But here's the reality. If you've truly come to the cross, if you truly believed in Jesus, at one point you were facing the world, you were embracing the world, you were living this way. Repentance is about you turning this way. It's not to say that sometimes you don't take a step backwards in your faith. It's not to say that you don't wander sometimes. But your orientation is different. You cannot say, I love Jesus, I want Him as my Lord and Savior, and I'm going to hold on to my sins. You cannot do that. If any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. That's the reality. So the cross that saves us also sanctifies us. And I could also say, although it's not immediately in our text, the cross that saves us and sanctifies us also supplies us. And what I mean by that, it is through the cross that all blessings flow to us. All good and perfect gifts that come from God, I believe, come to us through the cross. I think of Paul's words in Romans 8. Says that he did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not also with him freely give us all things? So the cross saves us. If it's the cross that saves us, what do we have to boast in? What do we have to say, well, you know what, I'm better than my neighbor because I trusted Jesus and my neighbor didn't, so I'm good. No. You didn't do nothing. That's bad grammar. You didn't do anything to earn your salvation. Jesus paid it all. If the cross is the ground of your sanctification, what do you have to boast in either? Well, I'm better than the other Christians around me, so let me stand on my pedestal. No. Boasting only in the cross. Let me, if I can, take a few minutes here to sort of flesh this out, think through this with you, put down some practical things, okay? What does boasting in the cross mean on the day-to-day? What does it mean when you leave here and go to wherever you're going to go? What does it mean as you interact with people that don't know Jesus or do know Jesus? What does it mean to boast only in the cross? Well, let me say, first of all, that you must come to this cross and find your sufficiency in this cross if you are ever going to be reconciled to God. In other words, if you're living a life thinking, well, God will accept me because of my merits, God will accept me because I've done so many good things for Him. How could He not accept me? I just recently read of a major political figure in the U.S. that said, the day before Good Friday of all days, I've done so much good that God has to let me into heaven. But the question is, what are you going to do with your sin? Let alone whatsoever is not of faith is sin. God doesn't grade on a curve. We are not accepted by our works. We are accepted in the Beloved. If you don't come to the cross, you don't come to God at all. The only path to God is through that cross. Embracing what Jesus has done. That's the path. You don't have the right to choose your own adventure. You don't have the right to say, well, you know, I'm a pretty good guy, so surely God must accept me. Listen, I remember when this realization came crashing in on me. And some of you that are teens and kids, this is for you as well. Because I was a kid when God opened my eyes to this. Because I grew up in a Christian home. I had heard the gospel, but in some strange, perverse, twisted way, my mind thought, I'm saved because of the good things I've done. God will accept me because of, and I mean, I was a pretty self-righteous little kid. After all, I grew up in a church home. I wore a tie to church every day. I had dress shoes. They hurt. So it must have been some kind of penance. And I thought, you know, I'm accepted because of my works. And I remember one time, I remember the day that the Lord opened my eyes to this. I was in a Wednesday evening class. The man that taught the class, he worked as a security guard. I know that because I remember his uniform. I also remember his haircut. It was nice and short, kind of like mine. And I remember this guy came directly from work to teach a bunch of rambunctious kids like me. And he proclaimed the gospel one day and pointed out the fact that you can't save yourself. You can't save yourself. God opened my eyes to the truth of that. He had opened my eyes to embrace the gospel. And by the way, let me just say in passing, you don't know what kind of influence that you might have. This was a guy, no doubt, was incredibly busy. He came directly from work. He spent his time. And God used him to open my eyes to the truth. But here's my first point, though. If you don't come to the cross, if you don't make your boast the cross, you never will come to God. You have to come through the cross. But we've got to move on here. For those of us who are Christians, let me throw some things out that are important for us. We need to boast in the cross as the center of our Christian proclamation. What I mean by that is this. We as Christians talk about a lot of things related to faith, related to theology, how being Christians impacts who we are and what we do. But if we don't keep the cross at the center, we have done a great disservice. Paul would say, my only boast is the cross. And here's where I see problems sometimes. I see ministries that their focus is, you know, we're all about families. And I'm all for that. I'm praying for more families here. But their focus becomes families to the exclusion or the eclipsing of the cross. That is, the family is placed before the cross. When the right way to see it is to see the family through the lens of the cross. The cross influences who we are with one another. It influences husbands and wives. In fact, the very husband and wife relationship is a picture of the gospel. It's a picture. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. So keep the cross at the center. And I mean, I have enough Christian friends and I can tell by their emphases when the cross is getting pushed out from the center. I got Christian friends that they're all into eschatology. Or politics. Worse yet, conspiracy theories. And I mean, they got all kinds of stuff. And this becomes the focus of their lives. Our boast must be in the cross. We also need to recognize, you must recognize, that there's no room for boasting in you. And boasting in the cross. Can't do both. You can't do both. You can't talk about how great you are, or how great your stuff is, how awesome this is about you, and how awesome that is about you, and boast in the cross. Because the cross takes all ground of boasting away. We can't stand in front of the cross and think about how great we are, because it's our sins that hung our Savior on the cross. How can you stand before the cross and think awesome thoughts about yourself? Look how awesome I am. Look what I did to Jesus. Of course you can't think that way. We boast in the cross as that supreme example of God's love and justice. We don't boast in us. We can't and boast in the cross. We cannot do it. And all ages, again, We have a tendency, we get older, to find our sufficiency and our status in what our job is. And that's what defines us. That's what we boast in. Or we find our sufficiency and our status in our performance. So we're always pumping ourselves. We're always talking about our greatness. What I did the other day. Well, you got to know what I said to that person the other day. No. The cross. If you are boasting in the cross, you cannot be boasting in yourself. To the extent that you boast in yourself, you are not boasting in the cross. Glory in the cross. I remember the other school I used to teach in, there was a young lady. She was new to the school and she was having a hard time fitting in. And she would come to me almost every day and tell me about how she had done awesome things in the past, going to Bible quizzing events and doing scripture memory, and almost every day. She told me about, this is what I did, and that's what I did, and I got first place over here, and I memorized this over there. And eventually, I said to this young lady, Amy, why do you keep giving me your resume? I mean, why do you keep telling me this? And it was a work of grace in her heart over the year. I saw that God began to open her eyes to the fact that she, as much as she wanted to pump herself, was not worth boasting in. But Jesus was. Jesus is. That's the reality of you as well. I don't want to be mean to you, but I want to be forceful to you. You might be good at basketball. You might get good grades. You might have a good job. You might have a high IQ. You might have lots of friends. But the reality is, in spite of what Instagram and Twitter would suggest to you, you're really not all that awesome. You're not. But Jesus is. Boast in the cross. You can't boast in yourself and boast in the cross. Let's move on here. Boasting, remember, I want you to remember that boasting is a public activity. Anybody ever just kind of go home and you stand in front of the mirror by yourself and boast? Kind of weird. We boast publicly. We boast in front of others. That's one of Paul's points here. Boasting in the cross is a public activity. And Jesus would talk about not hiding your light under a bushel. You can't boast in the cross privately. That boasting is a public activity. You see grandparents, right, when they have grandkids, they start getting out pictures, showing people. They don't do that in the privacy of their home by themselves. They don't just show them in the mirror. They're boasting to other people. Boasting in the cross is a public activity. Are we involved in that? Are we lifting Christ? Are we pointing to the cross of Christ publicly? If you're not, you're not really boasting in the cross of Christ. Let me mention two more for sake of time. We'll cap it at that. Remember that boasting is a counter, boasting in the cross is a counter-cultural activity. What do I mean by that? Notice that in verse 14, Paul says, God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Boasting in the cross is the opposite. It's the upside down of what the world values. Just the other day, I confess, I was listening to a hip-hop song. And I remember the lyrics of this hip-hop song. You know, it's kind of a collaboration. And so there's one person actually singing and there's someone that is spitting their rhymes. And the singing part expressed like humility and need and grace. And then the hip hop artist gets on. And he's like, man, you could never wear my crown because it's way too much and I crush everything I touch. And, you know, like what? It doesn't even fit with the rest of the song. Just like, in a way, that invaded that song, if you would. Boasting, self-promotion is invaded and lodged into the worldview around us. And you have to look no further than the selfies that are everywhere. I mean, all kinds of facial contortions that people have for selfies, it's not wrong for you to take a picture of yourself. But there are people that have to do this about every other minute. You watch people walking down the street bumping into people because they're too busy taking selfies. Look what I did. Look what I ate. Look at me. Look at me. Look how I can contort my face. Duck face. Pig face. Scorpion. I don't know. Whatever. However many types of faces they have. They got all these contortions. And so often it's about look at me. Look at my greatness. But Christianity is quite the opposite of that. Because to boast in the cross is to be humble. To boast in the cross, the cross boaster is the guy that washes feet. The cross boaster is the one that deflects all honor from himself to the Son. So when you get into the business of boasting in the cross, it's going to be weird to people around you. Because their mindset is so different from that. I think of, we're getting there in 1 Peter. 1 Peter, later, he's going to say that to these people who have been saved out of the world, he's going to say, you know, those people you used to hang around with, used to party with, they think it's weird that you're not running around doing the same things anymore. The world will think it's weird when you start lifting Christ instead of yourself. When you start elevating Him above all. Let me give you one more, and we will conclude with this. Not only is boasting a countercultural activity, but boasting in the cross is a despised activity. The call to boast in the cross is a call to be despised. Now, we would prefer not to have a Christianity that makes people not like us. We'd prefer to have a Christianity that makes everyone happy with us. Never struggle, never strife. But to boast in the cross is to put Christ above all. He is, after all, as our passage says, the Lord Jesus Christ. So if we are boasting in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are submitting to who He is. We are promoting His agenda. We are bowing before His plans and purposes. And when you do that in a world that hates Jesus, you'll be despised. It will come. We want far too much to be liked. And we forget that it's better to be faithful than liked. It's better to be obedient than befriended. And you guys know me, I hope. You guys know that I'm not someone that says go out and try to be as abrasive as you can. Try to get people angry. Say as many offensive things as you can. No, I don't say that. But the cross is, by its very nature, offensive. The cross says we can't save ourselves. Furthermore, the cross says we need saving. When you put those two things together and you start promoting, lifting up that cross, it's not a popular message. People would rather think of themselves as victims and self-saviors than they would of people in need of divine grace. Notice in the passage itself, verse 12, one of the reasons why the false teachers wanted them to be circumcised is so that they would not suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. So how did that work? Well, if you are a Christian holding to the true gospel, you are hated by the Jews and you were hated by the Greeks. That is, the people who had adopted the Greek culture. That was pretty much all the rest of the world. Jews and Greeks. So, if you're clinging to, holding fast to the crucified Savior, to His cross, that message, that boasting, is foolish and offensive to people. So, these false teachers didn't want to suffer persecution. They didn't want people to think of them as offensive. So they said, you know, you take the good parts of Christianity. You know, you take Jesus as Savior, sort of. But you also be circumcised, and then you can be accepted in with the Jews. And if you're accepted in with the Jews, the Romans, they might have a little bit of dislike for the Jews, but they're not actually hating the Jews. So you can fly under the radar of persecution. You can get away with not having to deal with the difficulty that comes with the offense of the cross. Boasting in the cross is difficult. It's going to bring despising. Are you willing to go there? See, a lot of times we present the gospel in a really, really bad way. We present the gospel as, say this prayer and you get to go to heaven. But Jesus actually said, you know what? Tell people to consider the cost. What man, before he builds a tower, sits down and considers the cost, figures out if he doesn't have the money to build that tower? We present a half gospel of a half Christ that half saves. And then we wonder why, when persecution arises, people run the other direction. It's because they didn't have true faith in the true Savior. They didn't come, as I said earlier, to the right cross. If you trust Christ, and if you lift up the cross, persecution will come. These false teachers realized it, and that's why they diminished the message of the cross. Notice that Paul himself is an example of what happens when you promote the gospel of Christ, when you boast in the cross. Verse 17, the end of the verse, I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Would we be willing to suffer persecution to the point of bearing scars for it? My friends, boast in the cross. If you've not run to the cross, I want you to do that today. You can't save yourself, but Jesus saves. Run to the cross. Keep the cross at the center of your Christian life, at the center of your Christian proclamation. Remember that you cannot boast in yourself and boast in the cross. Boast publicly. But as you boast publicly, remember that it is countercultural. You will be misunderstood. And remember that as you boast, you will be despised. Now listen, Jesus told us this would happen. Jesus said that if they hated me, they're going to hate you. Peter, later, we're going to get there, he's going to say, don't think it's strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. These things happen on the path of obedience. So the point isn't necessarily right now, are you experiencing persecution? But are you boasting in the cross? So much so that when the circumstances arise, that countercultural hated message begins to grate on people, are you willing to keep on standing? Boast in the cross. We have nothing in ourselves to boast in. But Good Friday is a good day to remember. Boast in the cross. God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world.